What's going on, EPW Nation? It's your boys from the Everything College Basketball Podcast, Josh and Peyton, here to remind you all that college basketball season is right around the corner. Yes, we finally know it's right around the corner. And Peyton, there's only one place people should go for all the college basketball excitement.
Well, Josh, the only place to find all college basketball hoops all the time is Everything College Basketball. Everything College Basketball can be listened to on several podcast hosting sites like Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. And we can also be found on our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/EverythingCollegeBasketball.
Yes, make sure you are joining the group with a couple other 100 people and growing by the day as we march into year number 3 of the Everything College Basketball networking system. Now, let's get back to Conrad and Everything Pro Wrestling.
You can blame me for why we're late. It doesn't matter. Show's still happening. It's still going to be good. Happy WWE 2K13 day. I know a lot of you are in New Zealand right now using those nice smart brains that you have to play WWE 2K23 early. And I'm hoping you're here for a little palate cleanser before Monday Night Raw. You've got me. You got the homie Sean representing Hubbard Wrestling Weekly, Conrad representing Everything Pro Wrestling. We've got an intro for you. We got a lot of shilling to do, and we got a lot of wrestling to talk about. So make sure you keep it strapped in with your boys and Clash of the Podcast. Nothing better than some classic old school video game sounds to start the evening off right. Sean, how are you, sir?
What's going on, my brother? I'm feeling good, man. Went to the dentist, no cavities, man. You know what I'm saying? Felt like a 13-year-old kid again, like worrying about the dentist, but it turned out to be a beautiful thing. Work was cool. You know what I'm saying? Just grinding it out. Happy to be here with you, my brother.
Much respect, much respect. Speaking of the dentist, next week's episode of Clash of the Podcast will be a little preempted. It won't be at 6:05 live because guess who has to go to the dentist next week? This guy. So,
it's crazy how this worked out, bro. Like, that was complete coincidence.
Yeah, but you set me up nicely with that. That was just, he threw the softball. Bam! Home run right there. Okay. So listen, next week we're probably going to go live, I'm guessing around 7, but it's going to be a shorter show. What we're going to talk about, we will leave that up for discussion today. Sean set you up with a nice show. I'm not even going to front. Like, I can't even take – I have zero credit in how this show was set up, but Sean hooked it up for you guys. Speaking of the hookup, you know who's got the hookup when it comes to pro wrestling? Our boys at Fight TV. Fight TV's got some good wrestling coming up. We've got the Lucha Libre World Cup. This looks tremendous. If you're fans of people like the names Vampiro, Josh Alexander, and you see many, many names from the AAA promotion on there. You even have, I don't know what John Morris's name is there, but I'm sure it's something cool. Christopher Daniels, Camille, Deanna Perrazzo. People from all over the world are going to be at this. You guys are going to want to check it out. And it's only live on Fight. That's where you're going to want to be to check it out. Impact Wrestling has some good shows coming up. We got Sacrifice coming up on March 24th at 8 p.m. Fight's got you covered. Impact Plus got you covered. Make sure you guys are there and checking that out as well. Mickey James, Jordan Grace is the match I am most interested in. But we also have Time Machine. Sean's favorite, Kushida and the Motor City Machine Guns versus Josh Alexander, Rich Swann, and Frankie Kazarian. Assured to be a banger. And Tommy Dreamer versus Bully Ray in what they are dubbing a busted open match.
Oh, my God.
Not sure what that means.
I know sounds exactly East, what it means.
Sounds ECW-esque. Man. They've also got a Multiverse. Now, this is where people are going to meet from New Japan Strong and Impact Wrestling. Bullet Club, new tag team champs. I'm digging it. Chris Bay, Ace Austin, Aussie Open. You also have the Mighty Don't Kneel, if you're ever wondering what TMDK stands for, and Motor City Machine Guns. They got some bangers coming up and announced today. Mickie James, Deonna Purrazzo, Giselle Shaw, and Mayu Yamashita will be all going in a four-way match against each other for the Knockouts World Championship. Banger. And things to look forward to, Sunday, April 16th, we got Rebellion, Josh Alexander versus Steve Macklin. More on that to come, though, if you're an Impact fan. Sean, I know you got some stuff to shill too before we get into our the meat and potatoes of the show today.
Yeah, real quick, one more thing about Fight is that, you know, they really enhanced the WrestleMania week experience. You know, obviously the 16th is after WrestleMania. There's a couple of events before WrestleMania, but that event that's coming up on WrestleMania week, the Thursday before WrestleMania, what a great way to start off your WrestleMania weekend. It's really exciting. You know, myself and Conrad are locked in. Big shout out to Fight TV and their staff over there. So make sure you look out for that. The new Hub of Wrestling Weekly merchandise is really selling well. I'm actually dumbfounded with how well it's selling. I appreciate this. Got my new I Don't Believe in Luck, I Believe in Blessings t-shirt. It's really, really nice. And I am very happy to talk about, take that off the screen, bro. Take that off the screen. We're not talking about that. Take that off the screen, bro. We're not doing that today. We're talking about my Everything Pro Wrestling merchandise for all the people out there. Make sure you get that Everything Pro Wrestling merchandise, man. I got my cup today. I'm a coffee guy. So big shout out to Conrad and his. Hubba Wrestling, he's not the only one with the merch on Smash. Conrad did it first, and he's doing it great. So I got my EPW merch. Some more's on the way. Hint, hint. Watch out for them sales, Conrad. They're going up. And I'm excited, man. We got a lot of stuff going on. Make sure you check out both links, both channels, both stores, because, you know, we appreciate the support, and we appreciate being with you guys every week.
They're down in the description, too, for anybody who wants to check them out. But every holiday, I would always just go on there and check. Listen, we're trying to save you money on these even. That's go on, get yourself something that you need, and then you can go in there. You're repping the brand. He's got coffee mugs. There's stickers. There's T-shirts. You can buy pillows. You can do whatever you want. Go ahead. Look at him. He proud. Show it.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty excited about this. Got the sticker on the Kindle, you know what I'm saying? It's exciting, man. I say this humbly, you know what I'm saying? Conrad knows a lot of things that I've been through and the struggle of trying to put this thing together. So, you know what I'm saying? And to see it selling, you know what I'm saying? If you're in this chat and you bought one of my shirts or any of my merchandise, I appreciate you because the numbers are a lot higher than I thought they would be. So I'm really thankful.
And do us a favor, too. If you have something like that, tag us in a tweet at EPW Show, at Hubbard Wrestling, Hubbard Wrestling Weekly. Tag us in it, man. We'll retweet that, man. We'll show love, like, most definitely. So make sure we want to see that stuff. That's the best stuff to see. Let's give some shout-outs to the chat here real quick, and then we'll get into this. Shout-out to my nephew, Knowledge, in the house. What's going on, nephew? I see you out here. Better be doing your homework, and you better be balling, all right? I haven't seen any basketball videos. Send me some. All right. Doug's in the house. He said, hey, yo, 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 Papa Roly, and check your 40. Brooklyn, Brooklyn.
Good to Joel, you.
Joel, what's good? What's good? Sean covering for me in the chat as well as I see it. So thank you, my brother, once again. Let's see here. Matt Lopez says, hello, everyone. Good evening. What's going on, Matt? What is good? Sir Quills, he says, what it do, everybody? Conrad, Sean, what's up, y'all? Let's get ready for another dope episode of Clash of the Podcast. Much appreciated.
Appreciate you, Quills. Appreciate you.
Guy Will Gamble, also in the house. What's good, Guy?
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
BJ in the house as well. What's up, BJ? BJ Live. Rob in the house. Rob is the one who made that design that you saw in the coffee mug, so you got to give him full props. He big said, I'm on time today.
Yeah, big shout out to Rob. Big shout out to McKinney. I saw the ads on a couple of social media platforms. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate that, man, for real.
Guy said the intro theme feel like Luger's about to get cheated out of the championship. Come on,
but the U.S. championship. I'm thinking U.S. championship. He's going to lose it to, like, you know, Arn Anderson or something. Yeah.
For life, brother. I got you, dude. I legit thought, Conrad, when you mentioned the dentist and next week that you were going to say Isaac Yankum DDS, yo, no, we will not have him on the show at all, for sure. Yo, I'm here to talk wrestling and let y'all know Chris Rock dropped 8 minutes and 43 seconds of facts. I'm not getting into that. Somebody said, was that Carlito?
Points
to Motor City. Impact is so good. I think Impact is very slept on. If you haven't given it a chance for a while, hey, give it a chance. I bet Jordan Grace bench presses John Gresham before bed. Come on now. Gresham, they're both in incredible shape. I can't front. Impact's gonna have some dope matches the next couple weeks. They gotta take advantage of the momentum. When you get the momentum, you gotta take advantage of it. You keep pushing. Someone said NES throwback. Yes. And Rob put, he knows what I'm yelling at him. Rob, get back to work. And you better come get that that thing I sent you a picture of last night. Sister's waiting. All right. Let's see here. Exactly. He's about to use the U.S. belt to Barry Windham.
Barry Windham, even better. Nice gamble. Nice.
I love Barry Windham, bro. He's one of my like silent heroes of wrestling. He doesn't get enough love, I think, for how good he was. He was so good.
He was so good.
Can we start off with this, I guess? Oh, wait, and shout out to Positively E in the chat. Always got to show E some love. He says, Scott D'Amore is Impact president now. That is true. Breaking news today as well. Impact's making moves. I'm telling you, got to watch it. The Widowmaker. I got mad cards of those, and he said the WWF cards back in the day. Listen, I'm going to let Sean talk about this first, only because I have no clue what this man's going to say. Actually, no, I do have a clue. Bray Wyatt news. I don't know if you had a chance to get on the socials today, but this has been a hot topic of discussion, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's to me, it's much to do about nothing. I understand he's going to be off the scene for a while. Is that what's going on?
I guess. I don't know. His whole comeback has been weird. Listen, you know what? I'm going to get mad for a second. Now I'm getting offended. And this isn't at any of you guys.
You're going to get mad?
No, I'm not of this, but how many weeks have me and Sean been on now? Episode 28, so 28 weeks, right? You've been listening to us, I would hope. We've been telling you since we started this journey, dog, how many times Triple H has not been doing the job we thought he was going to do. Vince is back in the chair, we believe. Look at what is happening. What is going... Bobby Lashley and Bray Wyatt makes no sense, and what is this doing for Bobby Lashley? Who's getting made from this? I'm sorry. You can't cover this up with be patient, wait. What are we doing here? And I keep telling y'all, he's this close to Dolph Ziggler level with me. And that's the I don't care anymore what you do. I can hear here to show the world, new number one contender. I don't care. Right. I don't know how you feel, Sean.
No, I mean, I feel probably the exact same way. Not necessarily about Dolph Ziggler. I'm still holding out hope from 2014. How pathetic is that? But at the end of the day, no, it's been really, really sad. You know, I think that Bray Wyatt, the buzz of him returning has been amazing, but I think it's gone downhill ever since. And bro, like, I mean, we don't know who Uncle Howdy is, even though we do know who Uncle Howdy is, kind of, sort of. But for me, and now there's a chance he'll be off the scene again. WWE is clearly being run by Vince McMahon again, and it's quite apparent. And it's really a shame because, you know, people like Bray Wyatt, who had so much momentum, you know, that it all started for me, you know, with the lackluster, you know, reveal of Uncle Howdy, which still hasn't happened yet because they're taking too much time with it. The flirting as it relates to Alexa Bliss, which never came to fruition. And now, you know, possibly being off the scene again, it's really a waste. It's a waste. And that ridiculous match that he had at Royal Rumble with LA Knight, even though LA Knight is starting to get over, which I'm really happy about, that ridiculous...
I think that's because of you. I still will watch that
video. Yeah! But that ridiculous match he had at Royal Rumble, not because LA Knight was in it, because LA Knight is awesome, but the gimmickness of that match, if that's a word... Just pathetic, bro. It's been a major disappointment in my book.
Yeah, Matt Lopez brings up a good thing here. He says that the news is confusing. Some saying he's off of Mania due to creative differences, but Fightful says there's a physical reason to why it's been undisclosed for some amount of time. Hey, listen, if that's why he's out, fine and dandy, but I'm telling you guys something now too that's going to come up after Mania on this show more than likely. We're going to be talking about Vince McMahon and them trying to sell the company. Is this real, or is this just a facade for all of us to believe, or is he actually about to sell to someone, get paid, and then we're going to have to see the fallout from it? Like I said, I think they're going to get through Mania first, but trust me, we're not done talking about the Vince McMahon saga. People are saying, speak your truth. That song about Bobby was hilarious. I think they're referring to the Muscle Man dance. I think that's what it is, but it made no sense. McKinney. He said, I'm not even mad if it doesn't happen. Had a spark when you started, but now you just garbage in my whole voice. Mm-hmm. Dang. No doubt I'm happy to see the return of Bray Wyatt, but his return has been underwhelming. What a complete understatement, man. Yeah. Uncle Howdy's the new gobbledygooker. Yeesh. It's not that we don't know who he is. It's do we even care anymore at this point?
At this point, yeah. When it gets revealed, the whole luster of who Uncle Howdy is it's almost dead to me now, bro.
Let me see here. Why I fell off the rails of that Mountain Dew Blacklight match? It's tough, man, out here. I'm not going to say that Vince is in charge, but I bet he told Triple H to just look closer. Nah. Raw has completely went back to what it was. It's back to 2 to 3 minute matches. The only difference is that they switched the people around. That's it.
Yeah.
Pro Wrestling Shoot in the House. What's going on? They got a giveaway actually tonight for WWE 2K23. You may want to check out their channel before Raw. We'll be done here by that time, but head on over to the Pro Wrestling Shoot and show them some love. Connor in the house. Conrad, Sean, what up, my brothers?
Connor, what's going on, man?
Demand that ain't snug. That's stiff. Or excuse me, demand. I said demand. Demand. Listen, Sean, let's get into your first topic, man. We're gonna be talking a little bit of that. Let's get oopsie. We're gonna be talking a little Roman Reigns.
Yeah, man. I'm really excited about that. That's pretty much the only thing I'm excited about as it relates to WrestleMania.
Sounds like the rest of the WWE. Anytime someone's like, WWE's getting it from a storytelling standpoint, I'm like, take out the bloodline and tell me what Madcap Moss is doing right now.
Yeah. Facts.
But this is a great story, though. 100%.
It is. I will forever say that WWE dropped the ball because you had a ready, they didn't even have to do any work, bro. See, this is what, and I'm not going to get deep into it. I'm going to take 30 seconds and I'm going to move on. Jey Uso was over. Jey Uso, all they had to do was simply let it ride. Jey Uso was primed and ready organically. WWE had Jey Uso in the bag organically as it relates to a main event spot, as it relates to going up against Roman Reigns and the Bloodline. It happened organically, just like it happened organically with Sami Zayn, okay? Anybody who says that Jey Uso turning on the Bloodline is less interesting than KO and Sammy reuniting to face the Usos is just wrong. And I say that respectfully. Is Sammy and KO versus the Usos going to be an awesome match? Yes. We'll probably talk about it in 5-star category. But you cannot tell me that match, as predictable as it is, and Conrad hit the nail on the head, and so did a lot of you guys, McKinney and many others, right? But you can't tell me that if they just went with the ebb and flow of Jay organically turning on Roman Reigns and just said, okay, let's let this happen, that it wouldn't have been completely and totally awesome, right? But we're not going to get that. So now we have to deal with what we have now, which is now the Bloodline putting their focus onto Cody Rhodes. So there's been a lot of rumors, Conrad. I don't know if you heard it, that this may not go exactly the way we think it's going to go. You know, this may not happen the way we think it's going to happen. I know we've heard rumors also about Roman Reigns taking a break. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to take a break right after WrestleMania. Maybe he's going to hold on to it for another month and lose it at Backlash or whatever the next pay-per-view is. I don't know what it is. But the bottom line is, there's a lot of question marks as it relates to the future of the Bloodline. And for me, I feel like WWE, as usual, had something in the bag that they could have used. to prolong this. I'm talking about Jay versus Roman Reigns main event in SummerSlam, bro. That's where I was going with this. That's what it could have been.
So listen, you may have to catch me up a little bit on this.
Sure.
Is there a chance that Jey Uso's still not fully with the bloodline? Because his explanation was, I did it for my brother once again.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do it for Roman. So do you feel like the door's still open on your theory? Maybe they're just like, pause, we'll come back to this. I feel like they did the same thing to Sammy. Like, pause, we can come back to this. If you're still over after the fact, we can revisit this.
I think the door's open a crack. Okay, if you remember us talking about Elimination Chamber and how Jay came back and wasn't able to make a declaration of what side he was on because he got mistakenly speared by Sami Zayn, we said, okay, the door is still half open. I think that door has closed more now. Now, if WWE, if WWE decides to let that sliver of hope turn into them kicking the door open, that would be a good idea. But you know what that means. So at the end of the day, that would be a great idea. Oh my God, Jay's back with the blood. Matter of fact, as I'm saying it, as you just put that in my brain, because I'm telling you, we didn't talk about this in pre-production or anything. That's hilarious. Oh my God. We didn't talk about this, but check this out, man. Check this out. Derek, I see you, brother, my man. Jay seemingly being back in the fold, okay? Jay seeming back in the fold as an ambulance goes by my window. And all of a sudden, we get Jay going against the grain again and turning on the bloodline, like I said he should from the beginning. What a great idea. How entertaining, how wonderful would that be? But it's WWE, and when WWE is presented with a good idea, you know what that means, bro. So I anticipate they're going to go the safe route. I anticipate they're going to be cowards, like I called them on my YouTube channel, that WWE are cowards when it comes to doing something like this. And I think they're going to stick to what they know, which is, okay, let's just have Sammy and Kevin Owens reunite with each other, and then the Usos will reunite with each other, and then they'll fight at WrestleMania. Instead of doing something that people unexpected would like and be excited about. So, that being said, now we move on to Cody Rhodes, and we have Roman Reigns. And we're not sure exactly what's going to happen with that either, because this alleged vacation that Roman Reigns is going to take doesn't have to happen on WrestleMania Sunday. It doesn't have to be where he wrestles at WrestleMania and he's gone by Thursday. Maybe it takes an extra month, because the entire world thinks Cody Rhodes is going to win. And I'm saying, pump your brakes. Maybe not.
I'm with you on that. I think that there is a possibility in my mind right now that Cody loses. Do I think that he's going to lose if he gets a rematch? No. I think Cody's still going to get a title no matter what. Maybe it won't be this one, but he's going to get a title. They owe Cody a title. I'm sure it's probably written in his contract that he's getting the championship at some point. But the Roman train is pretty hot. Let me just paint a picture, y'all. Please, I don't know if I said this last
week. Shout out to McKinney. You know what that means. Appreciate you, brother.
Oh, I'm gonna get back to the comments in 1 second. But when you think about this, let's just say Roman wins at WrestleMania. Follow me, y'all. You're cruising down that road to 1,000 days of champ. Do you know when the 1,000th day is? King and Queen of the Ring.
Interesting.
Imagine Roman Reigns sitting on the throne, getting a crown placed on his head, looking like Aquaman, sitting up there with both the belts. He's got everything, and it's the 1,000th day. How would people feel about that?
Is that literally the 1,000th day?
I believe so.
Wow, that's cool. Okay.
That would be super dope, though, to sit there with all the belts, the crown, your family by you, the wise man, and you're just like, yo, I'm the best. Who can stop me? Maybe then you go and wait until Cody's gonna do it at SummerSlam. That's how I could see it, man. You don't have to do it right away. Maybe Roman's taking time off for a different reason later on. Who knows? But you have what Sean's point is with that. I totally agree with. You have been desperate for stars for a long, long time. I don't care, even if it's someone I don't like right now. WWE's in a bad place. You're in a bad place when you got people main event shows that I'm like, yo, who? Who is this? You're giving people opportunities. If someone's knocking out the park, you keep giving them opportunities. If people care about someone, you got to look at it at least and say, hey, there's something there. Let's work with it.
I appreciate you saying that, Conrad, because we don't agree on everything, but I appreciate you saying that. Is Jey Uso not over right now? If Jey Uso really turned on Roman Reigns, would that not be the talk of the wrestling world? I mean, am I missing something?
No. No, you're right in that aspect to it. Like I said, I can present reasons why WWE would say no, but I also think what you're saying is correct, though. You're not coming sideways. Right. It's, yo, you need stars. Look at who the crowd's cheering for right now. Look at the reaction that Jey Uso's getting. Sami Zayn. Push these guys. Gunther is another one. Look at the people that you have making the noise right now, and that's what they should do. Let me go back into some of these comments because some of these Jey Uso ones did have me laughing real quick here. Matt Lopez says, if they committed to Jey Uso turning on the bloodline, it would have been a bigger deal and more impactful. Positively.
I've been saying that for months, brother.
Yo, E, you are terrible. The Bray Wyatt storyline will make total sense. Bray Wyatt. Wow.
That's funny.
Mad rude, bro. Mad rude. The fact that Jey only made his return about his twin brother lets you know that this story is going to continue. And it started with Jey being tortured. It will end with Jey turning on Roman.
Yo, McKinney. That sounds like a good idea, bro. That sounds like a good idea. And I pray to God that you're right, but I don't know.
We'll see. Jay's loyalty. Yeah. Yeah, Roman's going to mollywop Jimmy if Jey didn't return. That is true. Someone said Vince's howdy. Come on now. Conrad, did you pre-order WWE? Yes, I did, Eric. My brother got it for me actually as a birthday gift last month. He surprised me. So he went on the PlayStation and bought it for me, but I have notifications that come through email. And I saw it, and I was like, yo, who bought this? Because it wasn't me, and I was definitely considering no. And my brother was like, oh, I got it for you, man. Don't worry about it. I was like, that's dope. So it wouldn't shock me if Jey returned to the bloodline just to convince Jimmy and Solo they got to bounce. Listen, I've heard rumors they got big plans for Solo.
I don't think so. I've heard that rumor too. You're 100% accurate on your report, but I don't think Solo's ready.
Not yet, but I'm saying they got it's in their head though. Once he gets to mess around for a while, he'll be all right. People are saying, why keep it on Roman? That's the King of the Ring thing. That sounds like a good idea. Wow, I didn't even get to these comments. King Roman in Saudi Arabia, I wouldn't put it past this company. Laugh out loud, terrible. This is your chance to make a star out of Cody. He's already a star. You let him main event Raw. He's a name. He's good to go. The thing he needs to fear is that he doesn't run into the John Cena monster that Austin Theory met last week. Because that was a little rough for Austin Theory, I thought. You can't tell people you don't care about someone. Conrad, I love it 100, but as I always said, Roman gets to 1K and drops the titles on his own. Like, I'll be back again. Could be. Roman on the throne for 1,000 days. Hashtag good idea. That needs to be Sean's new hashtag, I think. Hashtag good idea. You know what that means.
Gamble, I appreciate you, my G.
Someone said Solo's going to be Batista. They might be. But I don't know. Is there any other meat to this Cody Roman thing?
No, I'm not sure. I brought up with you. It's just I think we're putting too much stock, Conrad, and I'm including us in this. We've been susceptible to feeding into these things about this potential Roman Reigns vacation. Nothing is what it is until it is. Does that make any sense? Nothing is what it is until it is. We don't know if Roman's going on vacation. We don't know if that's official, and if it is official, we don't know when. I mean, Roman could retain the championship at WrestleMania and lose it the next night. Stop putting in your brain that it's a guarantee that Roman's going to lose the title of Cody Rhodes. Is Cody favored to win? Yes. But that doesn't mean we're talking about a man who's held the title for 37 years. There's no guarantee he's losing the title in 2 weeks.
That is true. Very true. The idea that he's losing, I'm not fully – sold that it's going to happen, but I do think Cody's got to get this. Like I said, he didn't come over here for no reason. This is going to sound really bad, and you might say this is your AEW bias coming in. I don't really care right now. Cody had to be promised something to come in. He was the first, I'm using air quotes for those listening on the audio feeds, Benedict Arnold, when he came over. He turned on AEW. He turned his back. Mr. Rah, 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 come watch our pay-per-views. Rah, rah, rah. Now he's in interviews talking about he pirated the pay-per-view. Very nice, Cody, by the way. So he's doing that now. And it's like, how do you think people feel about that? So he did that, but in WWE, what is he to them? Put the crown on his head. He's the guy. He's the one we're knighting to take over this place if someone's not here. If Roman's not here, he's the guy. They owe him a lot because he did that, because it made WWE not look weak in people's minds, and it weakened AEW, and that's what they want. That's the perception that they want. I'm trying to tell you guys to be smart wrestling fans. They did things to Jim Crockett Promotions and WCW that you would never imagine. Terrible things. And I know Bischoff did them right back too later on. But Vince McMahon is not a nice businessman. You can read his little sad letters from the Wrestling Observer in 1996. Oh, I'm just a businessman, and this big corporation's trying to hurt me, and they're taking my wrestlers by using money. What do they do today? They're the exact same thing. So just peep game when it's happening.
That's a fact.
BJ commenting about the John Cena stuff from last week. Eddie Kingston would have slapped Cena backstage if he gave that promo to him.
Yes, he would have.
Yeah. Yeah. What'd you think about that? Quick thoughts on that, Sean. The theory promo, like, were you. Listen, I don't have this revisionist history of John Cena like other people do. Like, oh, I'm so happy he's back. I'm like, nah, I remember what you did to the Nexus, bro. I'm good. Hit the bricks, bro. I know you're nice to kids and you do all that goody-goody stuff, but I'm just like, what? That didn't help Austin Theory at all, what you just did last week, at all.
And especially, there's a part of that promo that really rubbed me the wrong way. If you lose, you're done. If you win, you're done. That's ridiculous. Like, that's completely and totally ridiculous. Very disappointed in Cena, or if somebody told Cena to say that, very disappointed in them. It's okay to come out and roast the other guy. At least I can speak for myself. We all like reality-based promos, but that was too far. I mean, Austin Theory needs all the help he can get, and you just really shut him down. Now, we'll Theory probably win the match, yeah, but that whole if you win, you lose, and if you lose, you lose perspective really jacked it up for me.
Yeah, and I didn't like that he was pretending, too. Let's not front, like, the night after WrestleMania hasn't been buns for quite a few years now.
It's been like 3 or 4 years of trash, yes.
Yeah, I did a review last year, and I was like, never again will I sit here and watch the show the night after expecting some cool stuff, a raucous crowd. It was another Monday, bro. That's exactly how I'm treating it going forward, too, because they've given me no reason to care. It's not like after 29 or after 30 where the crowd was just the same people from the night before just going in.
Yeah.
So I get it. Quills was feeling Cena doing the roast. Let's see here. Eric says Queen Liv and King Gunther. What do you think? I could see those happening.
I think that's a good idea. I think that would be cool.
I still think for Queen of the Ring, though, and people are going to probably boo me for this, and I want to boo myself, I think Charlotte's going to be the first queen, though.
I think she's going to be queen, but I'm glad you're saying you don't like it. I mean, I don't like it either, but it probably will happen.
Yeah, if I'm a betting person, I would give it to Charlotte and Gunther right now for the people who need it. I need Solo versus Bronson Reed, meaty men slapping meat. Mm-hmm. Big E would be proud of you for that. Oh, my goodness. Sean, them hashtags, bro, you gotta take those, bro. You gotta borrow them. At this point, Roman will lose the titles before Fight Forever comes out. Don't get me started on that news. I don't even want to talk about that. Eddie Kingston don't play. Vince stole Mania from Dusty and told pay-per-view providers not to air Starrcade. Yeah, that is true. Vince was so dirty, the territory wanted to put him in cement shoes. I have heard that story. You can hear more about that from good old JR. Theory should have clapped back about Cena becoming exactly what he said The Rock was. Yeah. Yeah. I actually just watched WrestleMania 28's match today, Sean. I had that on in the background while I was working today.
Okay.
Just typing, waiting. Yeah. And I was like, I was just watching that match. And I was like, yo, this was so good, kind of in a way back then. Like, just the build, the hype, everything around it. And I was listening to Cena's promos and I was like, dude, He is the exact same person that he's hating on now. Just crazy. Crazy. John Cena's burying people like that on the mic and behind the scenes. Unpopular opinion. In my mind, it was Punk and the pipe bomb that killed the Nexus. Nah, I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with that.
Once someone kicked out of a DDT on concrete, I knew it was over. The Rock used to play the dozens that Cena, that was some Triple H, HBK, Mike burial, for real, for real. Matt Lopez, come on, fam. Don't play with me right now. I ain't doing no Mania After Raw review. I'll do it if Sean does it. So maybe we'll get on late that night. It'll be a watch along, though. Sean's going to be on here with me till 11. I ain't doing that by myself ever again. Nope. And Derek bailed last time, too? Never again. Never again. E going in about Vince's practices. And yeah, they are doing the pay-per-view near Memorial Day weekend to, you know, I'm sure they're not trying to hurt AEW, but that's what they're trying to do. Moving on, though. Speaking of that, let's get into some faction talk here with the Bloodline, Sean. Set us up, man.
Yes. Obviously we know how successful the Bloodline has been. And it got myself and Conrad to thinking, man, stables with more than two people in it. You know what I'm saying? To me, two people is a tag team, right? You need at least three people to be a faction. So where does the Bloodline stack up to some of the all-time great factions? I don't think this is a conversation that many people have. People are starting to put Roman Reigns into that all-time great category from a singles perspective. But I think not enough people, and maybe we can get this conversation started, have been talking about the Bloodline's place in history as it relates to stables. So, yeah, I mean, I think they've climbed the list. I mean, I think we kind of get a little bit drowned out by how corny WWE is as a whole. But from a Bloodline standpoint, you have the longest reigning heavyweight champion in recent WWE history, right? And you have the longest reigning tag team champions in history. To me, you sprinkle in Paul Heyman, who many consider the greatest manager of all time. I don't, but I give that nod to Bobby Heenan. But I would put Paul Heyman up there on the list very high.
Hold on. I want to get in on that real quick. Is he like your number three at least? Four? Top five. Let's do it. Nope. He ain't getting out of this. Top five right now. We know Bobby's one. And I'm with you on that. We can go back and forth right now. Number one, Bobby.
Right.
Bobby the Brain's number one for me. Who's two?
I probably go reluctantly Jimmy Hart. Reluctantly, because of longevity and championships. But I'd be hard pressed to have him any lower than three. He's three. He's three at the lowest, Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman? I think I had Cornette at two because I always wanted to see him get thrashed as a kid. Like, I always wanted to see him get beat up. I think Heyman's probably three, but him and Paul Bearer, I kind of always want to go back and forth on. And even then, I think you can make an argument for Heyman being two, but whatever. Paul Bearer at four, and then number five, I would say might be Jimmy Hart if I had to pick someone.
You may not like me for this one, bro. I don't think Paul Bearer was the. Respectfully, rest in peace, Paul Bearer. I don't see it, bro. Like.
I'm telling Percy Pringle, too, though, because he had to basically play that character to a T to be talking like that the whole time and holding the urn and playing it off. I give him credit for that.
I think I'm fairly confident with this one. Let's just go down the line. Bobby Heenan, number one. I'm going to throw it off kilter. I'm going to say Miss Elizabeth, number two.
Oh, see, I put her as valet. See, valet and manager are different because Miss Elizabeth added to the Savage character to me.
All right. Well, I'll put it like this. Bobby's undisputed number one, and Paul Heyman is definitely in the top five. There's nobody can say there's four managers that are better than definitively four managers that are better than Paul Heyman. So,
facts.
Father James Mitchell. No way.
Who said that?
Positively E. And I like Derek's answer. Derek says the top 5 managers of all time are Derek.
Derek, you're fired. What are you doing? Dylan. E said Miss Elizabeth is Sister Sherry. I love Sherry Martel. Sherry
awesome.
Is one of my favorite managers, too. Or she, see, yeah, she was more of a manager because she got involved. We knew Miss Elizabeth wasn't getting involved, even when she was with Flair and WCW. Just might do an eye rake or something. That's about it. Elizabeth ain't getting all jacked up with that. She was getting paid.
That's okay.
Jimmy Hart. Yeah, oh, Bill Alfonso. I like Bill Alfonso in ECW. He was really good. D-Money was good. He said, I should have went with Jey Uso and Sami Zayn versus the Bloodline. Yeah, listen, it could have happened. Doug said, join the Derek Order. Bobby the Brain Heenan was great. Bobby the Brain Heenan is my favorite of all time. J.J. Dillon, someone put.
J.J. Dillon is good, Gamble. He's good, but the sample size is too small. J.J. only, I mean, the Horsemen are probably top 3 greatest factions of all time, but he only managed the Horsemen, you know, or Flair or the Andersons individually. J.J. doesn't have any kind of diverse history. I mean, Paul Heyman has a diverse history. My God. I mean, people forget Bobby the Brain Heenan. I didn't think we were going to get into this, but sometimes the best subjects are impromptu subjects, right?
You're right.
Bobby Heenan not only was the manager of the Heenan family, Intercontinental Championships out the yin-yang, Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect, right? He technically was the manager of Andre the Giant when he was WWE champion.
The Colossal Connection.
The Colossal Connection were World Tag Team Champions. I mean, but you forget the Brain Busters, a.k.a. the Horsemen, were WWE Tag Team Champions, right? But you forget Bobby the Brain Heenan was also the manager of the AWA heavyweight champion of the world, Nick Bockwinkel. I mean, Bobby the Brain.
Hey, Nick, you need a dictionary to hear them promos.
You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, big shout out to Positively E. I got to give Slick some credit too. Slick will go down as one of the most entertaining managers of all time. I love that guy. But yeah, I wouldn't give it, shout out to Gamble. I wouldn't go with JJ only because he was Horseman and no one else. And also, another key element, I guess this is the Bobby the Brain Heenan appreciation show. Bobby the Brain was the mouthpiece for a lot of his guys. All due respect and rest in peace to Andre the Giant, he couldn't talk. All due respect to people like Haku, he couldn't talk, right? The Islanders couldn't really talk. I'm not saying that to be funny. I'm saying it because I'm being honest with you. In my opinion, the Red Rooster, before he turned babyface, couldn't really talk.
Perfect. One of my favorite slaps in history. Come here.
Out of his mouth, right?
Yeah, and then Brooklyn Brawler slammed him on that, right. That locker.
So Bobby the Brain Heenan was the mouthpiece for a lot of his guys. JJ, back me up here if I'm right, and correct me if I'm wrong, Conrad. JJ had flair. Flair could talk for himself. Arn could talk for himself. Tully could talk for himself. Maybe not Luger. Luger couldn't talk for himself.
It's the association, though. It's similar to CM Punk with Paul Heyman. Punk didn't eat Paul Heyman at all, 100%.
Exactly.
But it's the association with that manager. That's when you know you're at great level.
Facts. So let's get back on track here. So, yes, I to answer your initial question, yes, Paul Heyman is definitely a top 5 manager to ever live. So when you put all that – I'm just saying that Haku, God bless him, he's a great worker, but he wasn't a talker, and he had Bobby Heenan for that reason. But to get back to the focus of the conversation, the Bloodline should start being talked about as one of the greatest factions of all time. I think they've earned that, okay? Because you got to think about it like this. If you consider Roman Reigns to be a top 10 wrestler all time, right? And if you consider the Usos to be a top 10 tag team of all time, then you got to consider the Bloodline to be a top 10 faction of all time. How do you think they add up, bro?
I mean, look, you're just looking at the man right here. This is Roman Reigns. He is a beast. He has more main events than John Cena now. I don't know if people have realized that. Actually, I think he has way more. I think Cena only had 5.
Right.
Roman has just went through and crushed the game from 31 on. Like, this is just all Roman. He didn't main event 35, but he crushed all of these, and he's
Conrad,
just been on top.
Dig into this for me, bro. I'm really interested in hearing what you have to say. Where does the Bloodline stack up all time as far as factions are concerned?
I need people. You know what? Let's play. We're gonna play a game. Let's have some people drop the names of factions in the chat, and we'll kind of compare maybe for a second, okay. And we can talk about them too while we're doing it. While people up here talking about King Haku, and Haku is not a faction. Ming is not a faction. He is who I'm taking though in any fight for sure in their prime. Let me see here. Rob is bringing up some more manager still. I think some people are behind a little bit. If you're behind, you guys can hit live and then you can jump into it. I know you might hear that later still, but some of you guys might be a little bit behind. But yeah, I love the manager talk. That was really good. The first mention of a faction was X Factor. I know some people liked X Factor. They had no hope though. Everybody's
over there. You know what's funny about X Factor? They were the worst of all time. But you know what's funny about the X Factor? The X Factor had crazy, crazy titles on their resume, bro. Just Incredible, former ECW World Champion, ECW World Television Champion, Albert. Intercontinental Champion, X-Pac, European, Light Heavyweight, Cruiserweight. It's like on paper, like they have a pretty good resume, but they were trash, bro. They were so terrible. Awesome. Everybody's checking in. Let's do this comparison. I think this is a great idea, Conrad. You go first, DX.
DX.
Better than D-Generation X historically?
Depends on which version of DX we're talking about, too. But if we're just talking, I assume we're talking about the version that everyone appreciates the most, which is the Triple H, X-Pac, China, New Age Outlaws version.
Well, yeah, the five members, yeah.
I'm still going to go with the Bloodline is better. Ooh. Overall because of the fact that they were main event. That version of DX was like mid to upper card in a way. With right. all due respect, I mean, later on they were main event, but it wasn't the same at that point, though. I still think their peak was when they were feuding with the Nation and all that. I mean, what do you say?
I would say Ness. Ness. I'm gonna very reluctantly say. No, I love the Bloodline. I can't give them the nod over DX. They were so revolutionary, but it's hard. That's a toss-up, man. That's a great way to start out. That's a toss-up.
Let's go to this one. Evolution and the Four Horsemen. So I guess we can start with Evolution first.
Evolution, I think, is a yes. I think Evolution is going to go down as one of the greatest factions of all time, and deservedly so. But I think that the Bloodline has eclipsed Evolution.
I think so. They've lasted longer too, didn't they? Evolution wasn't really together super long either.
It wasn't a super long time. It was like 2 years. 2 years on and off, too. 2 years on and off. Yeah,
because you got to remember there were injuries to Batista and Orton. They made a lot of slip ups with that. And I'm glad they didn't replace anybody in it, but yeah, Evolution was great, but it just wasn't my thing to put them above them in this situation.
Yeah, I'm not gonna give now Four Horsemen. I will never give the nod to. I love the Bloodline, but I am not giving the nod to the Bloodline over the Horsemen.
Favorite version of the Horsemen, though, if I had to ask you, like, what are your favorite versions of them?
My favorite version of the Horsemen is gonna make you laugh because it's the version that lasted the least amount of time. My favorite horsemen were Ric Flair,
the same garbage.
Prime Ric Flair, Double A. I guess it would be at the time. It would be Ole was like the spokesman, wasn't he?
Yeah, Ole was the manager.
And then you had like Tully and I'm gonna give the nod to Sting. That to me, I thought that was a drop ball situation. Like Sting and the Horseman would have been freaking awesome, bro.
He was a member for
a day or 2 days or a week or something.
He had a little bit of time in there until he wanted a title shot. And as it always works, you don't do that to Rick now.
Okay, so let me be more clear with you, bro. and for the chat as well. My favorite version of the Horseman is the one with Sting in it, but that's kind of a running joke because he didn't last long. So I'll be more real with you guys. I'll say my favorite version of the Horseman would be obviously Flair. I'll go Tully, Arn, and Barry Windham.
I think that's the strongest version. I have a soft spot, though, for Brian Pillman and Chris Benoit in the Four Horsemen, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I love that version of them. And I even love when they added Dean Malenko into the fray. Now, Mongo's great for all the wrong reasons. Great for all the wrong reasons. But the matches are painful to go back and watch. Ooh. I guess we got to bring up WCW guys, too. Dangerous Alliance.
The Dangerous Alliance had no world champions, though. I mean, Rick Rude became champion so late.
Really not true.
You're talking about Rick Rude. Rick Rude didn't become champion so later.
Was it after the Alliance? I thought he won it right before.
No, it was after. He was the kingpin of the Alliance, but he was the United States champion.
You're right. You're right with Medusa. Yes. Man, I'm getting old, man. Yo.
We both are getting old.
Man, yeah, they're gonna be up there with. They got the same issue that I got with DX a little bit. Like, you're great, but when you're booked, you're here. You're not here.
Yeah,
but okay. I love them. That's one of the best War Games matches of all time. Dangerous Alliance versus Sting Squadron. NWO got brought up finally by Quills. Some people say it's the greatest faction of all time.
I'm going to say, and I'm really, you guys are going to be mad at me because I'm going to cop out and say, you know, what I'm going to say. I think the NWO is a yes, as in NWO is better than the Bloodline. I'm going to take a stand. Because I was going to hem and haw about it. I'm going to take a step further and just take a stand and say, yes, the Bloodline is better than 1998 DX. I know that's a tough one, but I'm going to say yes. And I'm also going to say yes about them being better than the Shield. I think the Shield was amazing, but I think the Bloodline has become better than them historically.
See, I feel different with the Shield because the Shield was a great trio unit. Like, you weren't beating, like, for months when those dudes were the three together, it was game over for anybody. They were getting beat up. They were beating main eventers. Like, it was nothing. Like, it could have been Cena, Danielson, Ryback. It didn't matter. The Shields, I just think they're a slept-on faction. Like, same with Dangerous Alliance.
I think they're great, but, like, you know I'm big on numbers, okay? We've talked about this off the air. We're talking about the fourth longest WWE champion in the history of the business and the longest reigning tag team champions ever and a guy that we consider to be a top three manager ever. I mean, it's like...
That's tough. That's tough. I just love the Shield, man. They put on some banger matches. I think that they deserve a lot of credit for what they did there. What up, Sick? I see you've joined us on Twitch. What is good, brother? Lashley just tweeted he don't care who he was facing. He worked too hard not to perform at Mania. Yikes. Did Albert have some titles in Japan? I believe he was a tag team champion with like Tomko, wasn't he?
He was.
I think so. Let's compare them to WWE faction because the Horsemen were on another level. Yeah, right now I think Horsemen and NWO are the only two that were like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we give the nod to the Horsemen. Everything else is DX is a strong toss up. And I've given a yes, the nod to them across the board. Let's keep going, though. This is good. Faces of Fear are a tag team, and the answer is no.
He's counting Jimmy Hart with them, though.
Oh, yeah, okay. Baby. Well, then the answer is definitely no.
The Alliance to end Hulkamania, Guy Will Gamble. I'm showing you the door. Wow. We are not bringing up the Dungeon of Doom. Not
That's
here.
Hilarious.
The man's about to say Paul Roma. Yo. I'm not going to lie, Guy. I think Sean might have been – me and Sean had to have a conversation after the show. Sean, I'm going to need you not to mention Paul Roma ever again.
Did I mention Paul Roma?
No. He said when you brought up Sting, he was like, I know y'all might come at me for this. He was like, you better not say
Paul Roma. You thought I was about to say Paul Roma. No way. Oh, my God. No way.
It makes me cry now knowing that they were going to try to get Tully back because that's who I was expecting as a kid. I remember sitting there. I was like, Paul Roma? I guess, you know, Paul Roma, I loved him in Power and Glory, but that Paul Romo or Death. He is loving the old names. Any version of the Heenan family and all the main eventers. You know what? I think the Heenan family had a lot of quantity too. I still think the bloodline is going to be over them just because, like you said, he had people like Haku. You're putting the Heenan family over the bloodline? Okay. I got to hear that.
And you know that I love the bloodline. But you got Ravishing Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect, Andre the freaking Giant, Haku, who was the king, the Brainbusters, Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard. I gotta say, I gotta give the nod to the family on that one, bro.
Ooh, that's tough, man.
Before you answer, you gotta think about it first, bro.
Well, time out though, bro. They were all taking them Hogan leg drops too, like it was nothing.
That's true.
Roman's giving the leg drops.
Yeah, you're right. I'm just saying, man. That's enough. Okay, I'm saying yes, but that's a close one.
Let's see here. Sid comes in and says he's got a long one here. I got to agree. You got to take nostalgia out of it and look at it from a storyline and match quality perspective. As cool as DX was, Bloodline's been knocking it out of the park for almost 3 years straight, and I can't think of a storyline or top-notch match that included DX.
Well, I guess he's talking about DX 98.
Because everyone always says that's the better version of DX. No matter Sean being in it and starting it, everyone associates that version of DX with the better version.
In that regard, I gotta agree with Sick with it. I think he makes a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, just mid-matches and catchphrases. Let's see. Oh, Bullet Club got brought up finally. Ooh. I love Bullet Club. I think people don't give Bullet Club enough credit. I mean, I'm not saying they're NWO level, but Bullet Club's good, man.
The Bullet Club, and I say this with so much respect, I love Adam Cole. I love Finn Balor. I love those guys. But aren't they considered biters?
I mean, maybe it was like a tribute act.
Look at my face, bro. I even hate to say it, but aren't they biters?
Is it a tribute act or is it like, how do you view it though?
Oh my God, that's so good.
I mean, they're throwing up the two sweets. When I was a kid, I used to do that to my friends. We do the two sweets like Nash.
Of course, me too, but I don't know, bro. I don't know. I would give the nod to the Bloodline over the Bullet Club. I know that's tough. And we're talking about people like.
I'm going to co-sign that. Yeah, I'm going to co-sign that. Let's see. What about Double J? Stop it. It's my world. My favorite version of the Horseman is Tully, Arn, Barry, but I love Mongo, Benoit, Arn. They were entertaining. Flair, Wyndham, Tully, and Double A are the classic Horsemen.
Aces and eights. Wow.
You know what, though? I love parts of that storyline, and I dislike so hard parts of that storyline. Like, you ever been just going on, like, Twitch or something, and then you see, like, the Impact old moments, and you just watch for a second? Mm-hmm. I saw one the other day. Bully Ray had so much heat in this cage match, bro. They were throwing beer cans over the top of the cage to hit him, and they were getting smacked. The ref covered Jeff like, this isn't your fault, man. Not your fault, baby. It's not your fault. This is all Bully Ray heat. Just let him get his heat. They covered him up, man. Aces and Eights are taking the L on that.
I got a good one for you, bro. I got a good one for you.
Who you got?
What about the Bloodline versus – I got two for you. The Bloodline versus the Corporation and the Bloodline versus the Ministry of Darkness. And matter of fact, three. The Bloodline versus the Ministry, the Bloodline versus the Corporation, and then the Bloodline versus the Corporate Ministry.
We might as well throw the Union in there too with the 2x4.
There's three. They were together, they were separate, then they were let's start with this one. Let's start with the Bloodline versus the Corporation. The Corporation was The Rock, Triple H, Shano, Vince at a time. It was Boss Man, it was Viscera, it was Midian, it was the APA.
Ken Shamrock. Oh well, that's the Corporate Ministry, right?
I'm sorry. Yes. I'm combining two up. You're right. So you got Rock, Shane, Triple H, Boss Man, Test.
I love Test, bro. But listen, They taking the L to the bloodline, all of them.
Okay, let's move on then. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. The corporate, I mean, the ministry, first and foremost. The Undertaker, you know what? That's an L too. Undertaker, great, but then it was like Midian, Viscera. Okay, here we go now. Here we go. The corporate ministry, Undertaker, Triple H. Rock was out of it by then, so he doesn't count. But the corporate ministry, Triple H, Undertaker, Bossman, Viscera, Midian, APA, Shamrock before he got kicked out.
Where is she? When he went to go against them, that's Derek's favorite line. I know he's laughing somewhere if he's listening to this.
What do you think, man?
No. I'm still going bloodline over them.
Okay. Let's kind of rapid fire through the rest of these, bro.
Let's see. Sports Entertainment Extreme. I don't even remember who was in it, but I know it was TNA, and I'm going to say the Bloodline.
Yeah,
Hold on. Sick had a good comment here, I think. Was it about the Shield? If you think about it, DX was just like the Shield. They were good, but everyone blossomed when they were separated. They even became main event stars. That is an excellent point when it comes to the Shield.
Excellent.
I'm bringing it up. I think also that's what the beauty of the Shield is, though, that they created three main event stars out of those guys. Let's see here. The Shield impact was crazy, too, on top of all them being faces for the company. Best faction that'll rival the Bloodline is NWO. They had the wrestling world in the chokehold for what, 3 to 4 years? Yeah.
NWO, yeah. I think we all agree. NWO gets a thumbs up.
New Day gets brought up here.
Oh, this hurts me. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say the Bloodline is better, even though I like New Day a whole lot.
And you know what? This is based on booking, too, because of how New Day's been treated. Because I love the fact. Some people always argue New Day should break up, and I'm always against it because I think that those three brothers made a pact to stay with each other, and I think that's a beautiful thing because you don't have that in wrestling. Everybody turns on everybody, and I think at a time when that was the cool thing to do, they're showing that they're not selfish and they can all take a turn, and they can all have a turn.
I agree with you completely, bro.
Let me see here. I don't know if there was a King of the Mountain faction. I hope that you guys are kidding because I did take some time off of watching Impact for a while. Someone said y'all going to acknowledge Haku.
We do acknowledge Haku. Okay, so are we – Gamble, I'm calling you out, Gamble. I'm showing you some love and calling you out at the same time. Give me one good Haku promo.
Tongan Death Grip. That's it, bro. It's like –
boop. That's not a promo.
All you got to see is the pro bouncing. Let it go. Let him go. The ref pulling his hair. He just holds on. Haku's that boy, man. I love Haku. Let me see here. I'm saying this just to be stupid. Never mind the League of Nations. Nah, they taking that out.
That's hilarious. There's a few more. Let me call some of these out, bro.
The New Blood.
No.
Okay, no. I think we know the answer to that one. You know what? I got one for you from ECW. The Triple Threat. Shane Douglas, Bam Bam Bigelow, when Rick Rude was the manager with Francine.
Are we talking seriously right now?
I thought they were a really good group together, though.
They were excellent. They weren't on the level of the Bloodline.
This is a fact. I'm just bringing it up. I'm just
throwing facts out there. I thought you were talking about are they better than that? If you're saying were they a great team, they were a great team, but they weren't better than the Bloodline.
People got WWE 2K on the brain. Someone said better than Utopia. If you don't know, that was William Regal, MVP, and Umaga beat to take over John Cena. The Natural Born Thrillers. You know what? That's a slept on group. I kind of liked them when they were together, but nah.
Slept on, but not better.
C-Hubs, we can agree on ish.
McKinney, we've been agreeing on a lot lately. You're starting to scare me, bro, but I appreciate you.
Let's see here. How many tributes are we going to do, though? NWO bit. Let's see. Bullet Club peak with AJ as the leader. We got Bullet Club. Rob, never again do I want to see this in here. Why is AEW burying all the big guys? I don't know where that came from.
Got a good one at the bottom.
That was the Undisputed Era?
I like the Undisputed Era a lot, but I'm still going to say Bloodline.
You know why? Because how much fish could Bobby Fish fry if Bobby Fish could fry fish? Get him out of here. Get him out of here. I'm sorry. Undisputed Era is probably the best NXT group of all time, though.
Yep.
I'll give them that for now. Right. You know what? I really liked Right to Censor, though, for what they were supposed to be as a heel group. Their song is annoying. I heard it the other day. I think I was talking to E or somebody. It sent me a message and I heard that song in the background. I was like, Doug, what are you watching? Because I hear Right to Censor's music and it's so annoying that it catches your ear.
They were a good group, but you know what the funny part is? That music, you don't hear it at first, but there's a beat behind that music, you know?
Yeah.
Did you ever hear that?
Yep. The little doom in the background, but you don't hear it unless you actually listen to the theme.
Yeah.
We got some other joke.
I think we all agree that the Bloodline has gone. They've ascended into top 10 category.
Ooh, I see the one I think you were talking. The Heart Foundation?
I would have to. I wouldn't be able to sleep tonight if I didn't say Heart Foundation. I will give the nod to the Heart Foundation.
I'm going to go Bloodline over them, just slightly. Only because Pillman was, he couldn't do too much then. But we knew Bulldog and Anvil were a joke. It was Bret and Owen's show. Like, those were
It was.
It was a little rough out there. I knew Derek was listening. Where is she? That's hilarious. Two people brought up the FBI. Rob in Tokyo said the FBI, good faction, but not top tier. 3MB. the ECW version of the network. Yeah. Nah.
We all agree the Bloodline has become a top 5 to 7 faction of all time.
Yeah, I think they're in the top 10 from what we were just talking, though. Probably might be top 5. I think it might even be safe to say top 5 for sure. Are they better than DX? Maybe to some. Horsemen? It sounds like we're still NWO Horsemen. Like, nah, you're not touching that yet. But maybe they can get there still.
Yeah, I think we agreed that NWO and Horsemen are still going to remain top 2. DX was always top 3. But I think Bloodline and DX is now a toss-up.
Interesting way to put it, good sir.
Yeah, man.
I appreciate everybody showing love in the chat. Don't forget, if you haven't, hit that like and subscribe button. And don't forget to leave us a comment afterwards. Yes. Me and Sean always poke our heads in there and hear pause. Y'all in there. What?
Pause.
What? I didn't say nothing wrong.
Yes, you play. Did.
Play. Now let's get back into this. wait. Yo. People really love The Brood, too. I saw The Brood get brought up. The Brood had beat music theme, too. Or was that just Gangrel? No, that was The Brood, man. They had some... Whoever did that theme, they were feeling it that day. They had the Gangrel walk, the whole... The chalice. Yeah. Hold on. Okay, stupid. Well, how do y'all feel about the Inner Circle? Nah, I can't put that... Jericho, the group broke up too fast, I think, for that.
Yeah, I agree.
Let me see here. Stop it, Derek. You guys are awesome. Thank you. Let's move on to our last topic of the night. We're going to switch into a little AE dub for you guys.
And a little bit of seriousness, too, because we're about to hit you guys in the head with some serious talk right now, like some all jokes aside type stuff.
Maxwell Jacob Friedman. We could have probably talked about this last week, but I think we did for a second, but we didn't really harp on it and get into it too deeply. He was in a 60-minute Iron Man match with the best in the world, some would say, Bryan Danielson, and they had a nice long match. In the very beginning of the match, though, MJF went to the outside, and there was a young fan nearby near his mother. He walked past the mother and took her drink out of her hand. Wasn't a lot of liquid in there. I went back and watched this too. It wasn't, people are acting like he dumped a bottle on this kid. Like, relax at the same time. Little bit of drink in there. He threw it on the kid and then hopped back over the gate and then said, oh, Dave, is that going to cost me a star? And got back into the ring. Sean, I'm going to let you pick it up from there.
There comes a point when you take things too far. Now, I'm going to start with the outlier, with the possibility that's the least likely, okay? That AEW representatives went out to that family and talked to that mother and said, hey, listen, MJF's going to be walking through the crowd. Do you mind if he takes a drink out of your hand and throws it on your son? We'll give you free tickets to a future event. We'll give you money, whatever it takes. Are you cool with it? Now, if that is the case, which I do not think is the case, but if that is the case, then I'm fine with it. They agreed to it. It's A-OK with me. But if that was an impromptu, organic situation that took place, I think it was inappropriate. I think MJF is taking it too far. I'm all about getting heat. I'm all about being a good heel. A lot of people say that I'm a heel on this show compared to Conrad, who's the babyface. But again, I'm not going to let too much levity get into this. I want to be very serious. He spit on people. And now he's throwing drinks on kids. Doesn't it get to a point where it becomes cheap heat? Like, okay, now what I'm doing is I'm trying to be the biggest a-hole I could possibly be. Not an a-hole on the mic like a Prime Edge. Not an a-hole on the mic like a Prime Vince. But just, I got to disagree with that, Gamble. I appreciate you, bro, but I got to disagree with that. I thought you meant to say MJF was. Yes, I am a heel, like old school. That's a compliment. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. But, yeah, to stay on focus here, I think MJ, and I'm going to pass it back to you, Conrad, because I sense that you may have a differing opinion, but then again, maybe not. It's wrong if the fans didn't know about it, because I didn't come to get spit on. Unless I say this in tongue-in-cheek, unless I am sitting in a WWE event on the first row in front of Triple H when he's doing his entrance, that's the only time I paid to get into a building to get spit on. You know what I mean? That's the only time I pay to get spit on is if I sit directly in front of the hard camera in front of Triple H while he's doing his entrance. And even then, I'm probably putting up an umbrella to not get spit on. If it's not a work, I'm going to let you have the floor, bro. If it's not a work, and if the fan didn't know, the mom didn't know, it's inappropriate. It's too much.
I don't think we'll ever know the truth, at least not for years to come. Not until that kid's older. We'll never know what really happened. Similar to the – have you ever seen where the $1 million man and the kid who we kicked the basketball from finally met up?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, oh, I loved it. But the kid didn't know at the time, or he forgot, and he was crying when the $1 million man did it. And what do you do in that moment? Ted DiBiase can't be like, yeah, I can't be like, oh, I feel bad for you. You know what I mean? He was like, and he's laughing in this kid's face. He had to dribble the ball 10 times. I think MJF, so here's the weird thing. And I've been a victim of MJF's. I don't know if people know this. I went to do a review on an indie show here in Buffalo, and MJF was on the card. And MJF treated me like garbage before. He was like, nobody cares about your review. Nobody cares about this, this, and this. And when we went there, experience wasn't great. We had a problem with a pizza lady, and I was dealing with some other stuff at the time. You know what I mean? I was like, listen, you're like a cafeteria lady. I don't know what you want me to say, but we got some issues, all right? So, and you can go back and watch that review. Some unflattering words were said about that woman that night. And during all of this, MJF finally has the moment to where people can go up and take pictures with him. Guess who's first in line? Old cue ball right here. I show up and I say, hey, remember me? And he said, he was like, no, I don't remember you. And I'm like, I'm the guy you were talking crap to on Twitter. And then he was like, oh, hey, man, how you doing? And then he went right back into heel mode and started talking his mess again. But I knew he knew. I knew he knew, like, this is how I play the game. And he knew that I was going to be play along as well for it. He was like, come on, cue ball. I don't have all day. Come here. And then, you know, he took like five pictures with me to be cool. MJF knows what he's doing when it comes to that. And I think wrestling fans today, too, are the reason why MJF feels he has to go so hard. I think because they act like, nah, I love this dude. He's so cool. And MJF is doing his hardest. He's like, I don't want you to cheer for me. I want you to hate me no matter what I do. And he's trying to become – so I think when you try to do that too hard, it's what you said. You're going to do the most vile thing sometimes, and it's too far. And I think in that situation, it works perfectly. Tony knows what he wants that character to be. So how do you solve it, Sean? There's two ways. Tony Khan's going to be the babyface, make the company look good. But when MJF apologized, did you hear what he said in the media scrum after? Someone asked him the question, why did you throw the drink on the young man that was ringside? Like, what happened with that? What was going on with that?
Oh, he said he looked thirsty.
He looked thirsty. And I was like, but that was a great response because he still stays the heel. Tony and them are the baby face because they gave the kid all the free stuff. He got to meet like Will Hobbs. I saw a bunch of people went over, the podcasters like us went over to him and bought him like fingers and all this stuff. Cool. I understand it. But I see people in the chat talking about forget that pizza lady. So did MJF take it? Listen, if it was my kid or someone else, you might not get lucky like that to get away and hop back over a gate. Someone might have tackled you, did something. Like,
well, I was waiting for you to say that, because as a parent, if he had, first of all, let's go back to my original point, which was I felt a very small, and shout out to McKinney, I think, said something about being a parent. Sick with it. For me, the chance of my scenario that I talked about when we first started this segment, about you going to the parent first and saying, hey, can we do this, that, and the third? That was a theory, but to me, that was a very unlikely theory, because if they had come to me and said, hey, can I throw a drink on your kid as part of the show? I'll give you such and such. I would say no. So I'm going to go along the lines of that example that I gave probably didn't happen. And if that didn't happen, that means it was impromptu and the family didn't know about it. So let's focus on that. It's wrong. And you guys might want to jump on me for this one. And no, under no circumstances am I saying that MJF should have been arrested or, but technically, that's assault. That's assault. But, and especially, like, I've seen him spit his gum on people. And to me, it's like, who the hell do you think you are? This is not wrestling anymore. I paid a ticket for a show. I paid a ticket for a show. You want to get on the mic? You want to run down my town? You want to see me in the crowd, call me a jerk or a piece of crap? You do what you got to do. You want to curse me? But you are not going to physically do something to me, bro. And to me, that's why I'm saying it got taken too far. And then you got to take it. And Chad, I want you guys to chime in. It was too far. And then since it is too far, Conrad, my question is, wow. Are you that limited that you have to go to that route to get heat? Are you running out of material?
You've seen him in action, I assume, right? Like at the fan conventions and stuff, even with the people in wheelchairs. MJF does not care. He's going to get a rise out of you no matter what. He wants you to get upset with him. He does that stuff.
I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. I want to talk about the chat. I get fired up about these chats because I think people like Gamble and Positively E have good perspectives, but they're not understanding the way it went. In 1990, when Mr. Perfect would spit out his gum, and throughout the rest of his career, he would spit his gum out of his mouth and hit it with his hand. And yes, it would fall into the crowd. And is there a chance that gum hit somebody in the head? Sure. That's not what MJF is doing. MJF is physically spitting his gum onto someone purposely. So I just wanted to clarify that.
I mean the gum shot's the same thing though, too. You're spitting it out. You know if it's going into a crowd. Like, come on. You know where that's going when you do something like that.
I'm sure that's what Positively Ian Gamble is saying, which makes them probably technically right and me technically wrong. But to me, you don't think the intention's a little bit different?
This is true. Derek actually brings up a good point, too, that I wanted to bring up, too. Because here's the other thing. At the AEW shows, they do say when you sit front row, you might become close to the show. So be on the lookout. They say there's dives going to be happening over the gate. If the wrestler asks you to move, please try to move over. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure they're aware of, like, okay, if there's someone with a wheelchair sitting here, don't go to that side for the dive, but try to do it in the middle, whatever it may be. So you are there to be part of the show, but not in the aspect of what Sean's saying. Sean's saying that nobody's asking to get a drink thrown on them. And I get it. Sometimes those matches in the Attitude Era, you grab water from the crowd, then you throw it over your head and everybody's getting wet. I've been there. It's not done with an act where you know they did it on purpose to you and singled you out to do it. So let me take it a step further, bro.
And like I said, I am not this guy, okay? I am not someone that tries to get people in trouble. I am not someone that tries to get unnecessary attention on people. I'm just throwing it out there. If that was not planned, if that mother did not know what was going to happen and having her child have a drink thrown on him, My question to you all is, could she have gone to the police and filed the claim?
I don't know how far it would have went.
I'm just asking a simple question, bro.
Oh, could she have? Yeah, you could go to the police for anything.
Maybe I should make it less simple then. Could she have gone to the... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think because when you go back and look at the footage, did the kid actually get the water on him? Was he actually wet? I don't know. Because, listen, I'm drinking water right now. And by the way, I don't think MJF knew it was an alcoholic drink either. That's where people started taking it too far to me, too. Like, oh, he knew. He didn't know. He grabbed a cup and threw it on the kid. I think, like you said, he grabbed it. Was like, I'm going to throw water on somebody. Yeah, hate me.
Right.
So there wasn't this much water in there. If you guys can see the line right there, I'm shaking the water for you. There wasn't that much in there. I don't even think there was this much water in there. It was barely anything in there. But it was a hurtful action that he did to someone who was a kid, and you don't know how that kid might have felt or whatever afterwards. I think they handled the situation the best they could while trying to keep the heat on MJF at the same time. So he got what he wanted. Tony got what he wanted. He took care of a fan. He was like, we're going to have a great time, blah, blah, blah. But it's a situation, like you said, I think you want to be careful when you do this, because Derek brought up a good thing, ECW. He brought up, don't forget what Bully Ray said. And I only know this because we all talk a lot. Do you remember Bubba Ray Dudley? I can't remember where the show was. ECW was one of the worst nights. They got the worst heat. Bubba Ray got on the microphone and started talking about a mother and a daughter in the front row. Do you remember this?
I do.
Yikes. That was one of the most like hot like heat I've ever seen somebody get from a crowd. The woman spit on Bubba Ray Dudley. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people remember. A lot of spit talk tonight.
Can I interject while you finish the story? The mother spitting on Bubba Ray Dudley was wrong, by the way. I would say that as well. She was dead wrong. It was inappropriate. Bubba Ray, let me say this, bro, and I want you to finish. Bubba Ray went too far, but it wasn't a physical act. That's what I'm saying. But go ahead.
Well, I think spit is a physical act because she spit on him. And then he's...
Okay, well, no. Okay, he was talking crap, really ridiculous, over-the-top, probably inappropriate crap, and then she spat on him, right?
Correct. When he got down real close, he got real close in her face. What are you going to do? Because that's what heels do. They poke you all the way. What are you going to do? So the lady spit on him. Well, Bubba Ray, I didn't think he was going to do this. He spit back. And I was like, what is going... ECW was a different time, though. They were a different breed. They loved being part of the show. So, like I said, it's a mixed bag for what you're going to get with that.
While we finish this conversation and while you're about to do this comment by Sick With It, chat, I want you to be as interactive as you've ever been. Did MJF go too far? Yes or no? I want your answers. Did MJF go too far at Revolution? Yes or no? Go ahead.
No, I'm just reading what Six said. Six said my mama wouldn't have played that. That would have became a triple threat match.
I'm saying.
Let's see. Juggernaut, what's up, Juggernaut? Appreciate you coming in here, bro. Let me see here. But my concern is there going to be a time where MJF legitimately goes too far and something happens that makes him and the company look bad? 100%. I think Tony's probably had those conversations with him after this. Like, yo, you got to be careful when you're doing this. Like, don't do something stupid. And that lady had a purse. My mama used to carry a little shank in her purse. Come on now. Come on. Mr. Perfect used to do that with the gum.
I think it's different gamble, but I respect what you're saying.
No, I just went back to it too. Yeah, he said the same thing. Let me see. Matt Lopez says, I'm just saying, if that was my kid, I would be on the news. Local headline wrestling fan chokes out. I won't say that. D-head heel for throwing a drink on their child. Everything College Basketball says, what's up? What's good, man? The March Madness, he is feeling it. Appreciate you guys coming in. The wild thing, if it wasn't scripted, why did MJF choose that particular kid? I think it was just nearby.
Gamble, I want you to correct me if I'm wrong. I don't even think my very smart tag team partner, Conrad, picked up on what you're saying. If I'm wrong, Gamble, tell him I'm wrong. You know where I think Gamble's going with that? Conrad, do you think I know where you think you... I think...
Go ahead.
It was a black kid. I'm not...
Oh, I know that. But I don't think that was why he did that, though. Okay. I think, number one, I don't think MJF gives a damn about race, because he sticks up for people all the time with that stuff.
So that wipes that out.
But,
okay.
But what I think happened was the kid wasn't paying attention to him. Did you notice the kid was sitting in a chair kind of like this, like he was probably tired at the pay-per-view?
Right.
And MJF was like, oh, you're not paying attention to me? Oh, I see you. You're the person who's about to get this. Okay. That's what I think happened. He's like, get up out of your seat and pay attention to me, because that's what he wants.
Okay.
Wrestling is very a simple thing. That's why I think he did it. And as someone who's been to live events, the unspoken rule amongst wrestlers and fans is you can talk as much trash as you want, but as soon as you cross that barricade, it's fair game, and that goes both ways. I wouldn't say that. I think as a fan, you got to be careful too, because the moment you put your hands on them, it's on.
That's a fact.
It's on. And they might have backup coming. That was Heat Wave 98. Yeah. Yeah. Matt Lopez coming in with the town and everything. Yeah, I think he went too far and it wasn't planned. It could have been. If not a plant, yes, but I think it was a plant. So people are mixed on that too.
Right.
Had it been a teenager or adult, I don't think anyone would have gave two craps about this. The kids are off limits unless it's a class. Yeah, I would agree with that. You got to leave it alone. A real heel would have gave the kid an open shot. I think if Danielson would have brought him over, he would have let him do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think MJF would have took a punch from the kid.
Yeah, but I like this, man. I'm glad we're talking about it, because, I mean, and maybe he didn't go too far. It just made me cringe when I saw it live. I was like, ugh.
What's going on? I hope I'm saying this right. Weeze Madness 29, what's good? I hope I'm saying that right. I'm saying it kind of in a French way, the way I read it. Like, Wee Madness 29, appreciate you.
What about you, comrade? What about you? Did MJF go too far?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. With a kid, I think you just get, you can't do that, because number one, for his safety too, like Six said, that could have been someone's mama with the shank in the purse. You don't know what they could have had or what she was doing. She was drinking too. And since we found out later it was an alcoholic beverage.
Let me ask you this. MJF, for some reason, the gum thing doesn't resonate as much, because gum kind of bounces off you, even though I still think it's disgusting. Let's say MJF spits on you. Conrad, you're sitting front row, and MJF spits on you. You jump the rail. Now, of course, security is going to tackle you, right?
Yeah.
When all the dust settles and all the smoke clears, do you think you'll be vindicated?
After he spit on me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm about to be working there. Easy. Me and Sean about to be the host of the podcast. AEW Unrestricted here with Conrad and Sean. We're about to get paid.
There you go. That's business. I'm glad you said that, bro, because that's the key. I don't want to see MJF get in trouble. Do I think MJF's a racist? Do I think MJF wants to hurt children? No and no. But MJF needs to realize what he's doing is wrong and it could be actionable.
He made a bad decision on that night. That's all. He went after someone. Like I said, I think kids are off limits. If he did that to a grown man, I think who said it? McKinney, I think, said it. I don't care. Okay. It was a grown man.
Right.
I think if it was me, I would have threw the drink in the air. If I had the same thought going through my head, I would just do it on everybody and said, everybody pay attention to me and get everybody riled up in the area. But that's not what happened. Let me see here. Dana Jones, thank you for hopping in. Appreciate you. Six says, nah, I'm saying unless it's a work, wrestlers and fans need to keep their hands to themselves. Yeah. Look, I ain't trying to get stomped out by a locker room full of buff dudes, but at the same time, me and my bros would have turned up. Would have been the world peace thing all over. The Malice in the Palace, it was called. Yeah. Yeah, you don't do
if
that.
My kid is older now, but if my 5-year-old, 7-year-old kid was in the crowd and MJF was in the crowd, that's the key, in the crowd, walking by me and took a drink out of my hand and threw it on my kid, and I wasn't aware of it beforehand, and like I said, I would never agree to something like that, so I wouldn't have been agreed, I wouldn't have known it beforehand. It would have been a fight, a real fight, in the crowd. My hands said that.
That was the other part that worried me. Someone said that she had a shot of tequila. I was like, yeah, it's a lot of tequila in that cup, if that's what that was. That was a big cup for an arena. But what they charge these days, I don't know, man. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what that
controversy on Clash of the Podcast this week. A little controversy.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Sean, let the people know what you got going on this week.
Very big deal. Hubbard Wrestling Weekly will be covering in print and in podcast the upcoming, it is now official, April 22nd, 2023, Tank Gervonta Davis defending the world championship against Ryan Garcia. It is the most anticipated fight in boxing in 2023, and Hubbard Wrestling will have you covered top, forward, and back ways. It's going to be an amazing pay-per-view, and I'm going to have you covered with multiple articles and multiple podcasts on the road to that fight April 22nd, so look out for that. Of course, subscribe to the Hubbard Wrestling Weekly channel. Of course, check out the merch. If you see something you like, pick it up. Check out EPW's merch. If you like something, pick it up. But most importantly, keep watching every Monday night. And remember, programming note, we will be coming to you at 7:05 next week instead of 6:05. 1 week only. And then you know what happens after that. We're really digging into WrestleMania season. So see you next week, 7:05. Let's keep the momentum going. Conrad, appreciate you, my G.
Appreciate you for everything pro wrestling, Hubbard Wrestling Weekly. We are going to be out. Peace.